And what does it mean for us to do life together as people who are seeking to follow after Jesus? So I'm just going to read to us, start off from Romans. So Romans 12, starting at verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a person's gifting is prophesying, let them use it in proportion with their faith. If it is serving, let them serve. If it is teaching, let them teach. If it is encouraging, let them encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let them give generously. If it is leadership, let them govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let them do so cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. So, we are family. This series is about looking at us being church family together. But it's worth pointing out where we find ourselves culturally. Because we live in a world right now which moves more and more and more towards individualism and away from the idea of community. And there is a tension between the idea of community and the call of community and people's desire for individualism. And the problem in our culture is that the more individualism has taken root and hold of our culture, what you see is an epidemic of loneliness. Because you start putting yourself first, you stop engaging with other people because you're putting yourself first. And the result of this ultimately becomes down to the importance of self becoming highly important suddenly overtakes your connectedness with other people. So loneliness becomes a hugely big issue in our society. Only a few years ago, Theresa May, didn't she? She appointed a minister for loneliness. It's one of the most important, it's one of the biggest epidemics in our culture right now of people being lonely, people not finding themselves in family. And the problem is, when you find yourself in loneliness, you start looking for reasons why you're alone and why you're out of community. When you find yourself in loneliness, you think and assume everyone else is in community. And what happens is you start becoming quite resentful of that. And what happens is individualism leads to loneliness, and loneliness leads to tribalism. And what we're seeing in our culture right now is a greater move towards tribalism. Are people trying to find the tribe that they belong to? And it's not based upon community, it's based upon a common thing that you're not, or a common hate that you have, or a common fear that you're living by. So we've seen this recently in our culture, with lots of different things. Politically, we've seen it over the election. People trying to use tribalism to motivate. People who are in echo chambers hearing only the same ideas as their own and feeling that they are the right tribe and everyone else is somehow horrible. And politics, particularly, has become really divisive and quite angry. Where it's not just that I just disagree with you, it's a you are a horrible person for having that particular view. That is the extremity of where individualism takes hold in our culture. It leads to loneliness, and therefore to try and overcome loneliness, we start trying to find tribes that we can belong to, and often what happens is we become about what we're not, what we're against and what we fear, rather than about what community is, which is about finding a common love for each other. The community is striving to be together in order to find out of mutual love. And community is at the heart of the Christian message because the nature of who God is in the Christian story is that God is community in himself. We have what we call the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together in community as a community of love. And how you know it's a community of love is because there's diversity, unity in community. So it's not like tribalism, which is about saying we are all the same and they're not the same as us. Tribalism seeks to try and go against diversity. What love seeks to do is bring everyone together and celebrate diversity in unity, together in community. So tribalism is about trying to identify people who are like you so that you can be the same. Community is about trying to identify people who you can share life with and do love with, who maybe aren't the same as you, but your common idea for love holds you together. That is the nature of God. So God wants us to reflect what he is like, and so we are made to be in community. The beginning of Genesis, we've been talking about these last few weeks, God says it's not good for man to be alone. That the very first thing that's not good in God's creation is loneliness. God points it out and says, it's not good for man to be alone. And so he's saying, we're made to be in community. And if you look at Adam and Eve is diversity, male and female, coming together in unity to form community. And out of that community of love, new life is formed. So there's this idea that the Christian narrative is about community being central to the way God wants us to live our lives together. Jesus calls us to follow him in community. When you look at the story of Jesus, he didn't say to just one person, come follow me, and he takes that person off on their own secretly and teaches them all the secret knowledge and then sends them on their way. How does Jesus do life? He calls people to follow him together. Which is why the idea of doing Christianity on your own doesn't really register in Jesus' understanding of what the Christian life looks like. Because the Christian life is doing it together with other people. Jesus calls them to share in life together. He's calling us back to our original design for community. He's saying Adam and Eve are there to reflect the nature of God, to be diversity in unity, in community, and out of that comes life. The Trinity is diversity in unity, in community, and out of the expression of God's love comes the whole of creation. So the idea is out of community comes life. Out of tribalism comes fear and rejection. So community is all about love being at the center, and Jesus is calling us back to follow him, following the pattern of God's way of life, together in community. And what you see of Jesus, he calls everyone from different backgrounds and different ideas. And so in the 12 disciples, who are some of Jesus' closest friends, I'm going to highlight two characters to you who are doing life together following Jesus, but culturally would never mix. So on this side, on your left, you've got Simon the Zealot, he's called in the scripture. And on the right-hand side, you've got Matthew the tax collector. And we read that in the Bible and go, oh, that's nice. When you realize that Simon the Zealot is someone who is desperately passionate about the Jewish cause and about the Jews being liberated from Rome and about wanting everything to be free, and anyone who helps the Romans is a horrible, evil person and must be put out of the community. And then you've got Matthew, who's a tax collector, collecting taxes from the Jews for the Roman Empire. Matthew doesn't come into the field of vision of Simon because they are completely opposed to each other. They're in different social groups. I imagine the conversation when they first meet doesn't go well. Think about someone that you massively, fundamentally disagree on most things with. It's like God saying, and now we're doing life together. That's what's going on here. It is people who are completely different from completely different backgrounds. And Jesus says, you're called together to follow me. You're called together to follow me. You're called to do it with people who aren't like you. Because community is about diversity in unity that forms community. It's not about finding people who are like you, it's about finding people who aren't like you and following them, following Jesus together with them. But Jesus takes it one step further than just being community. Jesus' radical call is to be not just community, but family. And the language in the Bible that is often used for the church is about being a family. There's this call to be God's family. And if you look at the Trinity again, it's not just a community, it's a family. The language of the Trinity, the Father and the Son, is family language. You're called not just to a community, but you're called to be a part of a family. And when you become a Christian, when you say, actually, I've heard this Christian story, and I am choosing that Jesus was who he said he was, that he was the Son of God, he died on the cross for my sins so that I can be forgiven of all the things that I've done wrong and can be set free to live this new life with him. When you say, that's me, yeah, I'm in with that, you instantly become part of the family of God. Whether you like it or not, you're part of the family of God, which means that every other Christian on this planet and every other Christian who's been before you and will go after you is part of your family. This radical call to family. Jesus is calling us back to the pattern in the beginning. God creates Adam and Eve as family. They weren't just strangers, they were lovers. He called them to be family, and out of family came new life. So it's more than just community, it's actually family that God wants to create. And if you look at the story of the Bible, that's the intent in the beginning, that's the original design, is for family. And we choose to reject that and go our own way, and we cause divergence between people. And what you see in this in the Old Testament particularly is you see this narrative of God calling people back to family. He comes to Abraham and Sarah and says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Your descendants, your family is going to be part of changing the world. And then you see that people like Jacob comes along with his 12 sons. They become the 12 tribes of Israel. They become the people of God. It's about family. God's original design is for family together. He's constantly calling them back to that sense of family throughout Scripture. It says in Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6, it says, God is a father to the fatherless. He's a defender of the widow. He loves to put the lonely in families, and prisoners will follow him singing and being set free. God's heart is to put the lonely into a family. Those who didn't know God bring welcome home into the family of God. That's what God's heart is to do. It's for family. But we hear that, and for all of us, we'll have a different view of what we mean by the word family. So what does Jesus teach about family? So in Matthew 12, there's this weird bit that happens where it says this. Whilst Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you. He replied to them, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So suddenly Jesus here is saying, well, it's not about my biological family, it's about my spiritual family. I mean, you read that and go, oh, that's nice. But if you understand this in the cultural context of his day, this was something that was completely outrageous to say. And we don't understand this at all because our Western culture doesn't value community. In social thinking, there is an understanding of two groups of way of doing community. What's called strong group society and weak group society. We would find ourselves primarily in the Western culture, in a weak group society. We put the needs of self highly above the needs of other people or the group. In a strong group society, this is where, as an individual, you find your place in community and in the group, and that comes first in everything that you do. So what job you do is part of a collective decision. Where you go, what you do, how you spend your life, how you do family, how you do everything is a decision that's about what's best for the collective group rather than about just me. And I hear that and go, ooh, I don't like that. Often people from other cultures come with a stronger group setting from their family point of view, that belonging to their family is of utmost importance and supporting your family is of utmost importance. It's not about what you want to do, it's about actually what you do with your family. And we often hear this and we go, that sounds really oppressive. But I can't make my own choices. I have to think about what it is for the whole group. We find that quite oppressive. Because we're part of what's called a weak group society. We put the self above everything else. And our decisions and our choices are all about what I want and what's best for me, rather than actually what's best for the group. I'm going, I like that. I like being able to do what I want to do whenever I want to be able to do it. But Jesus' day was a strong group society, where the group was far more important than you as an individual. And actually, in Jesus' day, in his culture, it was your parents and your siblings. Because often marriage was arranged, often. Your marriage connection, it wasn't about your spouse, actually. It was about your brothers, your sisters, and your parents, because they were your blood relatives. They weren't just someone that you got married to, because often marriage wasn't about love. Marriage was about a way of joining families together. So actually, your primary calling as an individual in a strong group society was to your brothers and sisters and to your parents. And actually, your life revolved around helping them and making sure that they were okay. Jesus comes on the scene into that context and says, whoa, 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 whoa. No. Who's my mother? Who's my brother? Those who do the will of my Father. He's blowing out the water what they would know, and he's saying that actually the people who are my brothers and my sisters, the people that I give my life to and I make my whole life decisions based upon, are those who do the will of God. He's not lessening it. What he's doing, he's just taking it from saying, it's not about your earthly family that's important, it's about your spiritual family that now become of utmost importance. And actually, in the Western church, we do a lot of teaching about the positivity of family and how good families are. But actually, you look at Jesus' teaching, and often he's quite negative about family. He's saying, actually, your spiritual family is far more important. And we hear that in the West, and we go, whoa! We don't like that at all, because culturally, that is not the done thing to say. I'm not saying we have to suddenly radically change. I'm just saying, here's the teaching of Jesus in its context, and it's saying, actually, your spiritual family is more important than your earthly family. That's hard to hear. I'm not sure I'm okay with that. But that's what he's saying. Is actually the way you share life with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that is the most important thing. He's saying, that's what should shape how you live your life. That's what should shape what you do, how you function, about what's best for the group of God's family. Not for you, not for your biological family, but actually for your spiritual family. Man, that's a hard teaching to hear. Jesus is saying something really, really radical here and saying, the call is great. But in our Western culture, we find it really hard to hear because it does not resonate with our individual culture that we have. That's what he's saying. He's pointing out how hard this is. He's calling us to center our lives around our spiritual family. And what he's saying is that the spiritual practice of community is vital to your spiritual life with God. Notice Jesus, he spends time on his own, and he spends time in community. Time on his own and time in community. He doesn't just do community, and he just doesn't do solitude. He does both and. The practices of your individual walk and your corporate walk are both as important as each other. Doing Christianity has to be something we do as part of community. That's what Jesus is calling us back to. He's saying, it's a spiritual practice. If you want to grow in your faith, you've got to practice being part of community, because that is where you grow. But community and family is more than just what we make in our culture currently. It's not just connectedness. It's not just saying, well, I kind of know these people at church. The call is to family. It's not just, well, I'm Facebook friends with them, so it's all right. Or Instagram, on Twitter. It's not just connectedness. It's not just that I know them. It's something far, far deeper. But also, the practice of community is also not about chemistry. You might not get on with the people who are part of the family. That's really hard. But we're called to be part of the family. So you're not called to get on with everyone in this church. But you are called to love them all. So if your church isn't, if for you church isn't a place where it's full of friends, that's okay. But it doesn't mean to say you don't engage in the community. If you find friendships in the life of the church, you find that chemistry, that is the ideal. Praise God. But it's not what you centre your community around, going, oh, do I like them? No, I'll go somewhere else. Or, I'll connect in a little bit. It's the practice of community saying, this is my family, and therefore I'm engaging with it. whatever. The word in Greek for family is oikos. But it has much more meaning. It's kind of the root word of lots of things. And it kind of means family, it means home, it means descendants, it means to live among, it means to live with, to build up, to build on, to reside in, to settle, to be in residence. It's about where you live, it's about the dwelling place, it's about a home. It means your immediate family, it also means about servants in the household, it means members of the house. It means about, it's also got a root word for strengthening and for neighborhood and to build up together. It's saying family is about something that we do together. It's active. It's something that we share. And actually, the word that is used in Greek better than this word to describe what the family of God is meant to be like is a word called koinonia. And koinonia is the word that's used often as translated as fellowship. But fellowship doesn't really do it justice. So I've written a sentence here, and everywhere in this sentence are words that can be translated as koinonia in Greek. But I put them into a sentence to help you understand what they might mean together. Koinonia is consistent, active, generous contribution to shared life and partnering together at the deepest level. So you can the word consistent can be translated as koinonia. The word active can be translated as koinonia. The word generous can be translated as koinonia. The word to contribute can be translated as koinonia in the Bible. The word for shared life can be translated as koinonia. It's all those things together. It's a really hard word to translate because actually it means it has this kind of context of a shared unity at the deepest level that you share what you've got. It's generous and it's active and it's participatory and you give to it. And that's what the Bible describes church family being like. Koinonia. Family, where we do life together. Whether you like people or you don't like people in the life of the church, you're still called to love them. You're still called to share at the deepest level and actively participate in the life of the family. See, church isn't just a place that you attend and connect into. It's a place where you share life together with people. And it's really hard because our culture tells us, just dip in and out. That's fine. But the Bible teaching and the teaching of Jesus is even stronger, saying this is your primary responsibility. It's like, flipping heck, Jesus, that's a bit hard. And I'm not sure I'm quite there yet. Even though I love you a lot. But that's the direction we need to aim for, is koinonia. Consistent, active, generous contribution to shared life and partnering together at the deepest level. Family are all who do the will of God the Father. You see, the reason why it's family, not just community, is community you can dip in and out of, but family is something you can't get away from. Whether you like your family or don't like your family, they're still your family. Whether you speak to them or don't speak to them, they're still your family. They're still the people that you are connected to, whether you like it or not. And that's the thing about the Christian family, it's saying we have a shared faith, which means that we are family and connected. And family is the place where you can be yourself. Your family know you better than anyone else. They hear you fart. They see you leave your laundry on the floor. They see your pants hanging on the radiator. They're people who see you at your messiest. They're the people who know you intimately. They're the people who know things about you that no one else knows. Family is where you are just yourself. You don't try and hide it, you just kind of be you. Family is the place where you share jokes together. Family is the place where you mourn together over certain things. It's the place where you celebrate together over even the smallest triumph. You go, yeah, together, we're in this together. Family is the place that points out your faults and failings and go, actually, why are you doing that? They're the people who are your biggest encouragers. Who say, come on, you can do this. They're the people who bring you down a peg or two when you need a bit of a slap. And tell, actually, you know what? That's not a good way to behave. That's not helpful. Family is the place of real authenticity. They're the people who know the most about you. They're the people who understand you in all your quirkiness. They're the people who love you regardless. One person said that family is the place that when you come home, they have to take you in. When you come home, they have to take you in. Family is about a realness together where we don't try and hide who we are, we embrace who we are, and we choose to live in community and family where we understand that people will then tell us the truth and be honest with us and say, actually, you know what? Don't behave like that. That's not helpful. That doesn't help the community of God together. When people say, actually, I see this gift in you. Let me encourage you in this. Let me help you walk in this. I think I love about this church is when someone's got a heart of something, we get behind them, we go, yeah, we encourage them on with it. That's what family is. Family is this doing the real life work together. And don't get me wrong, you're probably thinking, that's great, Pete, but that's not what church feels like to me. Yeah, it's hard, it's a journey. We're not there yet. That's okay. But that's the direction we want to head towards. It's being family. Which is why I was at the beginning encouraging you to think about signing up for the church meal. Why? Because families eat together. Around dinner tables where you have those conversations together. I know some of you are thinking, I don't like people. And I understand that. But Jesus doesn't give an option to opt out. That's not a reason to not do it. Because Jesus says, part of your spiritual walk with me, part of your practicing of this is community. It's if you want to grow in your faith, you've got to participate in community. It's how you grow. Which is why in Hebrews it says, don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. It's saying, when you're not connecting into the family of God, you're not going to be growing. Because out of community grows new life. So Adam and Eve are there together, and when they share love together as family, the result of that is Cain and Abel. The result of that is new family. So the reason we participate in family life together is out of it comes new life, comes new things, comes new dreams, comes new ventures, comes new ways of sharing in the community. But we can only do that when we share together in family. Galatians 6:10 says this, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. You say, yes, as a Christian, you're called to be nice to everyone. You're called to do good wherever you can find it. But particularly to your family. Particularly sharing life together with your family. In John 13, 34, 35, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you're my disciples if you love one another. He's saying, the church is God's family. It's the place where you start learning how to love. Because it's full of people who are different from you. And the reason I love the fact that our church is becoming more multicultural is because it's more diverse. It makes it even more fun. Because then there are cultural things that we have to deal with where what one person is used to from one culture is different from another person's culture. It gets messy. But we learn from each other in that. The beauty of diversity coming together in unity is that we grow because there's more resource to learn from. We help each other learn and grow from our different perspectives and understandings that we bring to the party. So church is the place where we have to learn to love because by it, the whole world will know we're his disciples. If we love one another. You might not like everyone in this room, but you're called to love them regardless. You see, for Jesus, community is Jesus' school of love. This is why you can't do the Christian life on your own. Because love has to be done in a place of family and community. You can't love on your own. You've got to love with other people. So Jesus' call to follow him is to be in community with God and himself. That's great. But he says the outworking of this is love with other people that you're doing this journey with. That we are called to love each other. It is God's school of love for us to learn and grow what love truly looks like. Not just a feeling, but actually a way of life that we choose to adopt. So church family is the training ground of love. If you remember nothing else from this morning, just remember that line. Church family is the training ground of love. That's what Jesus calls you to follow him with. The church being the training ground of love. And over these next few weeks, we're going to unpack more about what church life looks like together. So next week, we're going to look at Acts 2 and look at radical life together. We're going to look at some time, spending time looking at our gifting and how we encourage each other in the gifts that we have in the life of the church. how we serve in the life of the church. We're also going to spend some time looking at what it means to be a Baptist family as well, and help some of you who are maybe going, what's a Baptist church? Understand what that's about too. Because we want to look at what it means to be family together. Church family is the training ground for love. And this is why actively engaging in the family of God is so, so vital. Because it grows you in love and makes you more like Jesus. And when you're more like Jesus, you'll reflect him into the world. So that actually, wherever you go, everybody, every day, everywhere is reflecting Jesus. But we learn it here, in our church family. And you might go, well, I've got Christian friends elsewhere in the world. I've got Christian friends elsewhere in the country. That's great. And they are part of your wider family. But actually, do you know what family is? It's those that you follow Jesus with who live near you. Because these are love people you never see. Because it doesn't involve any effort or work. Because actually, they offend you in the same way. But actually, the people you do life with are your local church. Which is why we believe heavily in local church. Doing family life where you live. With the people who are trying to follow Jesus together. That's us. We are the training ground of God's love at work in us. So the church is not a building. It's not a meeting house. You haven't got to have a projector. You haven't got to have words on a screen. You haven't got to have a guitar. Church is just simply another name for God's family. And we are all of it. So whenever we meet together, we are being family. Whenever we share life, we are being family. It is God's training ground of love. Follow Jesus. And he calls us to do it together in community that is family. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your call on our life. And Lord, thank you that you don't call us to follow you alone. But Lord, you call us into family. Lord, you are a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widow. You love to put the lonely into families. And Lord, I pray that in this place, we would together love each other and allow any who are lonely to feel loved. Lord, where we get it wrong regularly, Lord, we pray for more grace in our community. Lord, when we get it right, let's celebrate that with great joy. But Lord, help us always cling to the fact that we're here because we're family, not because of the teaching, not because of the worship, not because of anything else that goes on, but Lord, we're here because we're family. We want to follow you together. So Lord, help us practice the spiritual discipline of community. And Lord, thank you that the church family is your training ground of love. Help us in that, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.